Today's reading is in the book of John, chapter 13, starting in verse 21. John, chapter 13, starting in verse 21. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." I can't imagine what a sad occasion this must have been for Jesus, for him to not only tell them that one of their close-knit group was going to betray him, but the fact that Jesus has known all along, and he knows that Judas is going to betray him, and knows that despite this close relationship that all of those disciples had with Jesus, Judas had already made that decision. This must have been very sad indeed. Even though Jesus is pretty specific in regards to telling about one betraying him, and it would be the one to whom he gives the morsel of bread, the disciples don't seem to catch on at all. They don't realize that Judas is the one who is betraying Jesus. At that very moment, he is going out to do so. John reveals that they thought that he was going out to do something else in regards to him being the keeper of the money bag. Now, if you combine the other gospel accounts with this one, then I firmly believe that Jesus gave Judas every opportunity to not be the betrayer. But Judas made his own choice. And it says that Satan entered him, but it's Satan tempting him. It's Satan presenting that opportunity for Judas to profit. And I'm not sure what Judas was thinking in terms of what was going to happen. The Jews have tried to arrest Jesus on many occasions and have been unable to. So I try to give Judas at least a little bit of benefit of the doubt in that he may have thought that Jesus was not going to be able to be arrested here either. But this fits with the plan of God, and so, yes, Jesus did allow himself to be arrested. Jesus also takes this occasion to give some last words for the other disciples that are there. Judas has left. Jesus has told him, "What you're going to do, go ahead and do it quickly." There is a time frame that exists here. Jesus is going to be raised on the first day of the week, so it needs to happen about this time. And of course, this is the Passover, and Jesus ends up being the Passover lamb and the sacrifice for our sins. So the timing was all according to God's plan. In verse 31, you see that Jesus describes this plan of God and how God would be glorified, and God would glorify the Son. As both of them fulfill their roles, this glorification then happens. And then he shares with them this new commandment. And it's not completely new. People were always supposed to love each other. You know, you were supposed to love your enemies, love your neighbors. But that had been limited in many regards over time by the thinking of man, so that they didn't really apply it the way that God intended. But he's saying, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. But he raises that standard even higher. He says, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And then gives verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The love that we have for each other is supposed to stand out so much that it is noticeable to other people, that it is the mark of a disciple. If someone says, I can see the love that you guys have for one another, they are paying a great compliment. They are saying that they see our discipleship in action. I do believe, though, that we make a mistake thinking that the marks of discipleship are us staying true in certain doctrinal regards. And of course, those things are important, but that's not what's going to stand out. If we want to stand out in this world as true disciples, it has to be love that shows up. It has to be love that people notice. Make no mistake, people are watching. People are paying attention to what they see in us. They look at how we conduct ourselves. They look to see if we live our life the same way that we talk. They look to see if we act out that love for one another in caring for each other when we have times of need. They're watching all these things about us, even if you don't think they are. Might even be somebody who hasn't listened to you in the past that told you they didn't want to talk about Bible things. They might still be watching to see what kind of life you live. And even if they're not receptive today, they might be receptive tomorrow because of what they see about you acting out what you believe in your discipleship. It's very important for people to see that we love each other the way that Jesus loved us. And when I say each other, I don't just mean our brethren. I mean we have to love our neighbor as ourselves. We have to go that extra mile. We have to show people that we're the kind of people that live up to what we believe, and that we can be counted on when they need something. And that thereby is going to open doors. It's going to pique interest. And it's those relationships that are going to be the draw before doctrinal matters. We need to have the heart like Jesus, that is willing to make sacrifices in order to help other people. It's willing to take the time to talk and help other people. And that is going to show the compassion that Jesus showed for those that are around him. And perhaps that's what we need to pray for today, that we embrace the patient and compassionate heart of Jesus and adopt that as our own way of life. Thank you for listening today, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.